Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Reach or Miss, episode 35. Adam Urbanski is a marketing strategist to coaches, consultants, and other service professionals. He is a small business change agent, marketing whiz, trainer, facilitator, speaker, and above anything else, passionate entrepreneur. In 1989, Adam immigrated to the United States from Poland with only $194 in his pocket. Since then, Adam has owned and co-owned several successful ventures. Some of his businesses generated millions of dollars in sales. Today, Adam runs a multi-million dollar business that includes consulting, coaching, training, and information publishing. Adam Urbanski, I'm so happy to meet you. Hi.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
It is exciting, and there are so many things I want to ask you. I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now, and I would like you to share with us what you are most passionate about today and where you're heading.
You know, I think that my passion has not changed in many, many years. My biggest passion is transforming lives, and I'm always looking for different ways like how I can express that passion through my business. My business is just a vehicle. So today I'm most excited about creating this micro revolution. I call it results revolution in a business coaching consulting industry. You know, it's notorious for courses and coaching programs to have a really high failure rate. You know, it's like if any other industry had 90%+ failure rate, it would be pretty much illegal. And yet in coaching, it's totally okay that 90%+ of people fail. They don't get the results they really sign up for. And, you know, and the industry is totally okay with it. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, especially courses and group programs. And I've been on this mission to reverse that rate. You know, I'm okay with a 5% failure, 10% failure, but 90% failure rate, unacceptable. So I'm proud to say that in the last year and a half, you know, we've really created some systems and processes in my business that we really have over 90% success rate with our clients delivering on the promises they sign up for. And the promises are pretty big. And, you know, I'm on a mission to make that program even bigger, to be able to accommodate more clients and help more people this way.
It sounds terrific.
It really is.
Yeah, it is exciting. I must tell you that we are sharing this 90%, I believe, because today we're still talking about 90% failure for startups and entrepreneurs. However, I think it's more complicated. More issues are involved that they're not only marketing and sales and consulting, but it's very impressive to hear what you are doing.
Really. Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, you nailed it. It's like every business, it's a lot more complex than just marketing. You know, it's funny. I met with a few, with two different friends a while back. And I'm in marketing. One was in leadership training. And the third guy was kind of a systems consultant. And it's kind of funny because at lunch we were sitting there and going like, the number one, you know, so my story is the number one businesses fail is they don't have marketing. And the leadership guy go, no. You know, the number one businesses reason the businesses fail is they don't have good leadership. And obviously the systems guy goes, no, you guys both have it wrong. The number one business reason businesses fail is they don't have systems. So, you know, the truth is that all of those things need to be in place. You need to be a great leader. You need to be a great marketer, especially at the beginning when you're getting your business going, right? And you've got to put some systems in place to coordinate all the activities that you must get to, you know, in the course of every day.
Sure. I would like you to describe in few words how your career started, because actually you said, and I loved it so much, that you are doing it for so many years, perhaps in different hats, I don't know. So how did it all begin? Where did you start, and how did your career path just in few words?
In few words, you know, my path is so convoluted. So what I do today, the company called Marketing Mentors, where we train solopreneurs in the art of marketing and sales, I started that business in the year 2000. And actually for about the first year or so, I was heading in a different direction. And the current iteration of this business really came out of my own need, which was just because you build it does not mean they will come. So even though prior to starting my coaching, consulting, internet marketing business, I built a seven-figure company in the restaurant industry, starting with $194. So that's a whole different story. And then I thought, well, I know how to build businesses. So, you know, very easily, I might start my consulting business and just build that. Well, it wasn't so easy. And one of the biggest problems was explaining what I do and attracting clients. And I hated, you know, I was only 29 years old. So this is now, what, 17, almost 18 years ago. Yeah. The image of an average consultant was very different what it is today. Today is very widely accepted that young people can be very, very successful, right? Because internet accelerated this whole thing. But, you know, 18 years ago, we were still in the brick and mortar era. So, you know, to have an under 30 guy that achieved tremendous success and said, well, I can help you build success, talking to business owners who were typically in their 50s and 60s, it didn't go over there very well. So essentially, my entire business was built on me getting really annoyed that I had to answer the question, you know, what do you do? And people gave me 7 seconds to explain something as complex as transforming the business. And number two, that when I told them what they do and I actually got it, they would typically ask us, well, why should we hire you? Like, who the heck are you? We don't know you from Adam. And it, you know, it sort of really annoyed my sense of pride and my ego. And I thought, you know, I may be young, but I have more success than most people trying to do what I do. And yet I have to justify myself. And I thought there must be a better way, you know, to reverse this whole client chase and have clients come and chase me rather than me chasing them.
Oh, so what was the way? Did you find it?
Absolutely. It's actually less complicated than most people think. Look, nobody, celebrities don't have to chase paparazzis. Paparazzis chase them. Authorities don't have to chase clients or customers, you know, or fame. It's just the clients chase them. So one of the big secrets is you've got to, number one, you've got to become a trusted advisor and a recognized authority, a thought leader in your market. I know most people probably have heard it many times. What most people fail to realize that all celebrity and all authority is manufactured. And literally within the next 30 to 90 days, you can become the go-to person in your market if you choose to do so.
I do agree with you. And there is a new book, very beautiful book about this called Known of Mark Sheffer. Did you have a chance to read it?
No. What is the title? Known?
Known. He speaks exactly about that. How a person these days, which became much easier because of the internet and the social media, how each one can become known, not famous, but known. And I think you're speaking about very similar things. I don't know whether the way to do that is the same, but the book is interesting. Your customers today are the consultants and the coaches, actually?
Correct. So, you know, we work with self-employed service professionals, and majority of them actually do consulting and coaching. And I particularly, you know, enjoy working with people who actually help other businesses as well. It just happens to be my particular skill set, and we do, we help those folks achieve tremendous results very fast.
So from that point, can you please tell us a bit about your concept or beliefs? In the way a startup entrepreneur, it can be also a culture, because I think most coaches and consultants are kind of entrepreneurs today. How should they approach their customers and give our listeners your best advice for their customer approach and customer focus?
Interesting. So, you know, I know that you probably talk a lot to startup companies, and one of the great examples, and I forget the guy's name, but it's the founder of the company that was known as 37 Signals. And, you know, they are the founders of the Basecamp software. And, you know, they built Basecamp primarily for themselves, but they were actually a consulting organization. They made money consulting while they were building the platform. Essentially, eventually they got out of the consulting business because the platform made enough money. So I think that most people go about building the businesses completely the wrong way. They fall in love with an idea instead of falling in love with a client or a customer. You know, I think some of the customers, some of the companies, essentially nearly every company, at least every starting entrepreneur that did not, you know, have a chance to kind of fail a few times and raise themselves again, they fail to recognize that the only person you have to impress is the customer. And the only way to impress the customer is to know and understand the customer in the first place. And I know the entire premise of your show is largely based on this.
Yeah, it's largely based, and it's great to hear you believe so as well. I didn't think otherwise, though.
I have to tell you, it's like this is the message I preach every day. Essentially, every client, every customer, every student I start working with, it's the same thing. It's like, do you really, truly understand your clients, your market? You know, first your market, you know, then your niche, and then your actual ideal customer. Can you describe to me, you know, a day in their life? Can you describe to me when they wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats, worried about something? What is it that they worry? What words will they use to describe it? If you get to know your customers so well, everything becomes so easy. Creating products, making offers, languaging your marketing messages, everything becomes effortless because you're speaking the language.
I love that. That's correct. And I love it. I know you had very impressive successes, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your journey the most?
You know, that's always a difficult question for me because I have wired myself over the years to really follow this principle that I teach my clients, and that's forget the losses, but don't lose the lessons. So you know, like when you ask me about, people often want to know the big failures. I'm always thinking like, what was the big failure? So I've got to tell you, I've made a lot of money. I've lost everything and more a couple of times and had to remake it. So sadly, you know, certainly had huge successes. I think the story I want to show of you is fairly recent, actually. And maybe I'm kind of outing myself here. But about 2 years ago, I had this awakening in my industry. And that is, you know, I've built a very successful business and, you know, almost an autopilot client acquisition process. And things were just kind of honky-dory. There was only one problem, and that is my clients were not getting the results that they came to me for. And not as many as I would like them. Like my success stories were, you know, the ideal success story were far too few and too far in between, right? And I essentially completely blew up my business about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, completely blew up my business, put everything to a screeching halt. And I said, there's got to be a way to make this different. I've built a successful business before. I know what failure looks like. And I know what the success components need to be put in place. So let me stop everything and let me just rethink, what business do I want to be in and how do I want this business to impact my clients? And we rewired everything from scratch. And it's kind of what I mentioned to you at the beginning today. You know, I boast a success rate that I think very few other coaching programs can actually claim, if anyone. And, you know, that's essentially because I experienced this failure of sorts that, hey, we got good at marketing, but we weren't so good at delivering on our marketing promise. And because of that, we had to stop everything and reinvent ourselves.
Wow. What is the major difference between what you've done before that became a failure? First of all, I think a person needs so much courage to say, I'm stopping it now because I don't get, or my clients don't get the results I want or I think they can, and start all over again. I think it's really something to admire. But
thank you.
You're welcome. It's your story. But I want to ask you, what was the major difference between the first business 2 years ago and today, which you're having, you know, such huge success?
Mm-hmm. So I would say three things. Number one is, again, becoming extremely client-centric. And, you know, so that means, you know, it's not about what I can do. It's about what the client wants and how is it best delivered for a client. Number two is taking extreme responsibility. And again, that may not be, well, I think actually it applies to everybody. I'm a huge believer of responsibility accelerated. So for example, you know, let's say that, you know, even I'll give you an example of our interview for example. If we were to start at a certain time and I would show up 2 minutes late, and I would say, well, Hayut, I'm late because, you know, I couldn't log onto my computer. Technology wasn't cooperating. No. Technology wasn't at fault. I should have started 10 minutes earlier and make sure that every technology works. So it wasn't technology, it was my fault. So, you know, in a coaching consulting industry and any market, you know, we often go like, oh, a client didn't do it correctly or they didn't follow my instructions. Mm-hmm. Well, in that case, you know, I failed because I made my instructions too complicated. I didn't make them simple enough. I didn't make them actionable enough. So instead of in the past, we would go like, well, you know, our clients don't follow what we tell them. Well, great. Then it's our fault. How do we create our programs so easy to and so exciting to follow that essentially failure is not an option, right?
Totally agree.
And yeah, and then number three is actually, you know, extreme discipline with client selection. You have to realize you can't help everyone. And if you just take clients on because it's a check, then you pretty much already sentence yourself to failure, or at least a lot of misery. So it really doesn't matter that the client selection is not based on whether or not they have the check to pay, is whether or not they're a good fit, meaning we can create results for them. And if people make the decisions to bring clients on board based on that fit criteria, everything changes. Essentially, every client becomes what we call a lighthouse success story. Every client, you can take the case study and flaunt it to the wall and say, look, here's what we do. And we don't do it for just, you know, some clients. We do it for every single client. Why? Because we only take on ideal clients. It's just that simple.
Beautiful. And I would like to ask you now about your biggest success. What is the greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus or something you did right about approaching the customers? Perhaps you just told this story just now, but if you have something else to share.
You know, I really think that it really is what we do today. It's this 90 plus success rate. And wow. You know, it's the lesson that it's funny because then you asked this question and I just gave you the three reasons what's different. And in the process of really fine tuning this program, we took on some clients we shouldn't have taken. And prior to that, we actually had 100% success rate and now it dropped down to just above 90. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's going to take us a while to bring it back to 100, but it's all about the client selection, right? But that really is a big success for me. And I think on top of that is the fact that I've been in this business for, in about 6 months, it will be 18 years. And I have seen so many people in my industry come and go. You know, unfortunately, too many have folded and, you know, could not make it. So many had to, change what they do or they couldn't make it in the industry. And, you know, here I am stronger than ever. We are about to have the best year we've had so far in the 18 year history and just looking towards, you know, an even brighter future. And I think that's something I'm very, very proud of.
You should. And it's so exciting. It's so exciting to hear that. And I think it's so exciting for every one of your clients. Can you recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that related to customer focus, marketing or sales? And the reason I'm asking that, because we are all surrounded with so many tools, and I want you to recommend something that you really trust or you recommend to your clients that really works.
So, you know, I can only recommend the tools that I use a lot, right? So I use Infusionsoft, and even though it's kind of an older, it's one of the pioneers in the industry of kind of, small business CRM tool, but it's so highly effective. And I know there are many other companies that are coming on the market right now, and they equally elegant and effective. I love Infusionsoft. I've always been a big fan of them, and I think it allows us to do a lot of the things that we want to do with clients. You know, Facebook, I want to talk about Facebook for a moment because I think a lot of small businesses overlook the power of Facebook. Sure, it's not a solution to everything, but it really is a powerful player in the market right now where a lot of your audiences will be. So not using, such a simple thing as a Facebook pixel to follow your audience and, do some very simple retargeting to bring customers, you know, or prospects back to you. You know, that's a big mistake. I think things like Facebook Live, where you get to do broadcasts, podcasts today, big tools, right? Sure. I'm trying to think what else we're using, and it's like highly effective. You know, ClickFunnels, we use ClickFunnels. It's another great tool because it allows you to quickly put together elegant sales processes. But, you know, on a personal side, things like Audible, where you get to listen. You know, you mentioned this book, Known, and you bet immediately after we're done, I'm going to look it up if it's an Audible. And if it is, I'll be downloading it.
It is. It is. That's the way I read it. I'm reading it on the way. So, yes, you know, it is. I can promise you that.
Absolutely. So it's like, to me, that is more than, you know, to the way I, by the way, I run my business is we keep try to keep it extremely simple. It's very easy to overcomplicate things. And that's actually one of the other reasons that I kind of brought my business to a screeching halt. And I said, this is crazy. You know, our monthly expenses just for different subscriptions for technologies were crazy. And I'm like, we don't even use 90% of the stuff, or we use like so little of it. Why do we do that? There's got to be a simpler way. So I think a lot of us get so enamored with technology that we actually buy into technology as a tactic rather than asking ourselves strategically first, what am I actually trying to accomplish? And what's the most efficient, elegant, fastest path to accomplish that? And then based on that, select a tool or a platform. And most people do it the other way around. They go like, oh, there's a great tool. Let me get it. Yeah, but what are you going to do with this tool? You know, what is it actually doing for your business? It's just a distraction.
Is there any person? It can be a service provider. It can be like mentor, consultant. This is your life. Advertiser. It can also be a book that really had a major impact of your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well, or other consultants or coaches as well.
So, you know, I would say for me that the huge influence in everything that I do was Jay Abraham, still is to this day. And you know, we talked about being client-centric. Jay Abraham is mostly known for his strategy of preeminence. And that is, you know, having this fiduciary duty to your market, to your customers, to your clients. And this fiduciary duty really is about advising them in their best interest, even when, and particularly so when money has not exchanged hands yet, right? Everybody's always busy. Like, I have my customer's best interest in mind once they pay me money. Well, what about before they pay you money? Are you still giving them your best advisement, right? Even risking that they might go and do business elsewhere? Because, by the way, that also means if it's not a good fit, don't take them on as a client just because they can pay you money. So to me, that's a huge influence, you know, Jay Abraham. Yeah. You know, another person that I'm going to give him a shout out. He doesn't know me. He doesn't even know I exist. But there's a company called Thrive Themes. Just the gentleman, Shane, that runs the company. I like the way he thinks. And by the way, this is a startup company. It's a technology company. It's an online platform. So I think someone you might want to look up and maybe even consider interviewing. Just a fresh way of thinking, a very elegant way of marketing. And, you know, he's built a very successful business. There's one other company I want to mention. It's Groove, Groove. And I believe it's actually a customer support platform. Now, I've never used the technology, but the way they deployed content marketing, it's one of the most elegant content marketing companies ever. And I believe, again, for any high tech company, any technology company, startup, these guys have documented their entire journey from, you know, zero to $500,000 in monthly recurring revenues for the platform. And they're actually on the way to $1 million a month now. So great platform to watch, great content. And again, just very inspiring when you see a platform that's marketing effectively, but not aggressively and manipulatively. And I think that's kind of a really big thing to highlight. Too many people today just, you know, think that effective marketing has to be, you know, like in your face, manipulative, me. And it's really not about that at all.
We are going to put everything that we talked about today and on the show notes, and we'll put the link to everything. And I think you mentioned this before, but I want to ask you, do you remember, or when was the point when you stopped chasing after customers and started to attract them?
Yeah, you warned me about this question.
Yes, I did.
You know, I've actually made this mistake very early on when I first started. I mentioned it at the very beginning. When I first started my business, and for about a year, it really was a struggle. And the turning point for me was really deciding that there's got to be a better way. And, you know, I'm essentially my first claim to fame in my current business was a program, which we actually trademarked as a marketing system called Attract Clients Like Crazy. Mm-hmm. And it was all about the reversing the client chase. If we did it on video, I think actually one of the banners behind me says something like reverse the client chase, you know, make people come to you rather than you chase them. And the big thing was, rather than focusing on me, here's what I've got, here's what I can do for you, is changing everything in my business to start talking about, hey, here's what I know of you. Here's what I know of your problems or your challenges. You know, here are some solutions that you should be, that you could be exploring and implementing. And to me, I changed the definition of marketing for myself, which was solving other people's problems profitably. Mm-hmm. The way I market, you know, my marketing is all about education and it's all about helping other people solve their problems. And I do it profitably because it always results in people coming to us asking, hey, how can you help me more? What's the program I should be signing up for? What should I be buying from you to accelerate my journey?
You know, there are many things that usually affect successes, but I want to ask you, what is the most important factor that affected your success? What is your key success factor?
You know, it sounds so cliche, but it really...
We'll go for that.
We'll go for that.
Give us the cliche.
It really is the fact that I simply care about another person. You know, it's if you strip business from all its mechanics and, you know, all the fluff, at the end of that rope, that whole mechanism, you've got one person dealing with another person in one way, you know, shape or another. And to me, it's like I've made a decision that it doesn't matter what I do or how I do. The end result must be that when someone interacts with me or, you know, by extension, my business, when they experience that connection, they will be left better off than they were before. And, you know, it's like, I don't worry about profits. And look, I'm not a social services agency. I'm not nonprofit. I'm not an idiot. I like making money. I like making a lot of money.
Probably not.
But I realize that money is just a scoreboard. So the first and most important driver is, you know, how can I be of more service, of more value to more people? Yeah, and that's what drives me.
I find it so inspiring. This whole conversation, I must admit. And I want to ask you almost the final question before you'll tell us how to connect with you. You know, I believe, and we talked about it a bit before this conversation, I believe that the best way for entrepreneurs to get a fast, big, and stable success is by leading their new, probably, market category, doing that by understanding how their customers look at it. But it always reminds me climbing a mountain, because I think you have to take ownership of the category in the mind of your customers. And I want to ask you, whether there was or there is any mountain that you like or think of or wish to or did climb or wanted to climb or wanted to be on.
So, you know, when I first started my current business, I had a big display on my computer about climbing Mount Everest. And in fact, you know, my screensaver or the image on my monitor when it was just kind of sitting there, it would say, what are you doing today that takes you closer to the Everest? And, you know, at one point I had this awakening and realized this is actually, you know, many people die on Everest and I don't want to, and plus it's cold and I get cold so easily. I gave up on this. I said, you know, I watched some movies and it sounded so, you know, intoxicating. I wanted to do this, but I realized this is not my dream and I'm not a climber. I'm actually not a very athletic person altogether. So, but I'll tell you this. The highest mountain, I do some rock climbing. I do a little bit of activities like this. And I remember on a cruise ship once, they had like this 45 feet, you know, rock climbing wall. And I got to the top of it. I was so proud of myself. And, you know,
you should be.
Throughout this, you know, it's like, and by the way, I've got a fear of heights. So this wasn't, you know, it's like all sorts of things kick in for me. And I think the metaphor that I want to show you, I think that might be helpful is, you know, there were my arms were hurting, my legs were burning, and I was, you know, scared out of my wits. And I kept going. I wanted to go for that bell at the very top. And I think that we often feel like this in business. It's like when things are not going the right way. And I think that the secret is, number one, is looking towards not down, not behind, but looking towards what you want, and realizing that sometimes it gets challenging, but if you just persevere for those few moments of challenge, things will change, things will turn for the better. And you know, it's in those moments of challenges that we get to be defined and find the best solutions for how to move forward.
Wow. So this is a great place, actually, to almost end the conversation. And I want to ask you if I guess a lot of people would like to contact you and to connect with you. And what is the best way to do that?
So the best way, the marketingmentors.com, that's T-H-E, marketingmentors.com. That's my website. But actually, even better, I host a free group on Facebook. Since I mentioned Facebook so much, fastestpathtocash.club. And I love teaching. So every week I share, you know, at least one video tutorial on something that's business growth related. Fastestpathtocash.club. Would love to hang out with people there.
Wow. So we'll put both links in the show notes and people will be able to contact you. And Adam, I would like to really thank you. I did say it a few sentences ago, but I want to say again, it was one of the most inspiring conversations I had. Really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.